Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime time on Football Friday, 1080 The Fan.
Professional football in America is a special game, a unique game. Played nowhere else on earth, it is a rare game. The man who play it make it so.
This is a Football Friday edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
That's going to make the fucking difference between winning and losing.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Good little Friday. Rock and Soup, we've got Joey Harrington coming up next hour.
I'm cooking on your grill.
We will talk a little Oregon-Michigan, but also, you know, there's a big thing happening tonight in Portland.
There's the thing. There's a place and a thing, and one of us will be there.
Uh-huh.
Not you, because you hate women, but...
Whoa.
Yeah.
I am married to a woman.
You hate women's sports. I try to talk the WNBA, my WNBA, but you won't listen.
So I was about to call them the Timbers.
Again, the disrespect, you chauvinistic pig.
The Thorns are playing somebody, I don't know who, don't really care. But Christine Sinclair, this is her final game tonight.
Yeah.
And I know that Joey Harrington is a Christine Sinclair P1.
She is the reason why he got into soccer.
Well, yeah, he's like a part owner of that team.
Yes.
He basically runs the team now.
Pretty much.
Is he her boss for one night?
He's her boss.
At least tonight.
It's a little awkward.
Well, so,
yeah.
He's going to be out there watching her.
And, we're going to that, me and my buddy. And it'll be cool because she's as big as it gets in that sport. And certainly locally, she's as big as any local sports star that we've ever had. And anytime you get to be part of like those kind of like tribute nights, that's really cool. And they're playing, you'll love this, they're playing Angel FC.
What?
It's the Los Angeles team. City of Angels, you know.
Well, we're going to smoke them.
I do like that sometimes, like I hope when we get the WNBA team, I would like it to be the Rose City. They have Angel City FC in... and they also have the New York club is Gotham, which I think is pretty cool.
I don't hate that.
Yeah. I think that's kind of badass.
How do you feel about the Rose City Renegades?
Weird, but I just like the Rose City element to it. Like everything's Portland, obviously, but I think it's cool. If you
like the Golden State Warriors, you're speaking my language.
Yeah. It's just, it adds a little flair, kind of separates you a little bit, but there is nothing cooler as far as the name goes than being named the Gotham City. That is just absolutely badass.
How about Rose City FC?
Yeah. See, I'd be on board with that. We don't need it would be BC. It'd be basketball club because we have the Portland.
Oh, we can't call the Rose. True. We can't call the WNBA team.
It would be
football club.
It would
be BC.
It would be awkward to have. Yes.
Rose City United Basketball Club.
Well, anyway, Joey would be on at 5:30. Do you care to guess the buyout for one Georgia coach, Kirby Smart?
Oh, God.
I saw a list of the top 10 college football head coach buyouts today.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Lanning is on it, but I was absolutely floored by number one.
Well, I know Jimbo, because this was Mike Elko just was taking shots at this. I believe Jimbo's was 74.
Because they gave him a fully guaranteed deal, right?
And that was the highest ever. Well, they're all fully guaranteed. Coaches' salaries are all guaranteed.
Oh, well, so I thought, then why do they negotiate buyouts? They just pay them the rest of their contract.
Yeah, buyouts sometimes go down for, you know, how long you've been there. But yeah, the coach's salary is fully guaranteed. But then they have the buyouts for buyouts are as if you know, it's a lot of times the buyout is for a coach to go somewhere else to leave. But coaches' contracts are essentially guaranteed. It's not a year to year thing.
Care to guess?
True story.
Do we know how long his contract is? I'm guessing he's there for probably, what, 8 to 10 years? And let's say his salary is, what, 12-ish a year? I'm ballparking that. So, I mean, my God. Is it like $100 million?
It's $118 million. That is unbelievable. If Georgia wanted to buy out Kirby Smart, they would have to pay him $118 million. What is even happening? Number two is not even within 45,000 of that.
Is it
45 million.
Is it Dabo?
Number two?
Yeah.
No, Dabo's number five.
Okay.
Dabo's at 60 million. Number two is Kalen DeBoer.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
70 million.
Again, buyouts tend to go down the longer that you've been there, so that would make sense. But, like, you win a couple national titles, you got to swing in you-know-what. You can throw some weight around and be like, hey, man, this is you want to get rid of me, this is what's going to cost. Because I don't think we've ever had anything close to Jimbo at 74. Like, I remember when they bought out Charlie Weiss, and that was a big number, and people were like, oh, my God. But, you know, it just keeps going up. And if you're a Texas A&M right now, do you think anyone there gives a damn that they spent $74 million to get rid of him when Mike Elko has him rolling like this?
No.
There's probably a lot of the oil money down there that's laughing. It's like, that's all it costs, $74 million to get wins?
Yeah, it's just funny that, like, you know, they're always like, what are we going to do? We don't have any money. Yeah, you find it.
This is why I just don't believe that there's any, you know, say there's no way you can fire him. Well, but that's not true, because in some places, like,
there are places that they can't,
like UCLA can't afford it. You know, that was one of the things with Chip, or like Oregon State. There's, you know, BYU's not buying anyone out. Like, there's some places that you can't do that. But at a big boy school, Ohio State, Penn State, Texas A&M, there's no such thing as a buyout that would keep the coach safe if they really wanted him gone.
So number three, the third largest buyout in college football.
Is it Dan Lanning?
No, he's on the list. Is $64 million, mm-hmm. And his team is 1-7.
Ooh.
Is it Norvell?
Mike Norvell. Number four is Brian Kelly, $62 million. Dabo Swinney, $60 million. And then the bottom five of the top 10, James Franklin, Matt Rhule, Steve Sarkisian, Dan Lanning, and Brent Venables. Mm. Lanning's at $45 million.
And I know times have changed and money is rolling in, but I looked up, so for the sake of argument, I just Googled the top 10 largest buyouts that have actually gone
ever
down.
Happened. It's Tennessee, wasn't it?
No, Kiffin? It's
Or it's Jimbo?
It's Jimbo.
Is Kiffin on there?
No. Kiffin wasn't fired.
Fulmer?
No. So, remember, this.
How am I doing?
Well, back then, salaries weren't that big. People forget this. Yeah. This modern salary thing is fairly new when the money has gotten like this. So you want to talk about how out of control we've gotten. She mentioned all of those that were in the 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever. And then, of course, you know, Kirby is not going anywhere. So we know Jimbo's was 76 to go away. So I'll tell you, Gus Malzahn is number two on this list.
Ah.
You know what they paid Gus to go away?
Not 70 million.
50 million?
21 and a half.
Ooh.
And then Charlie Weiss at the time, that everyone freaked out about, it was less
like
than
26 or something like that?
It was less than $20 million.
Oh, okay.
Willie Taggart at Florida State was 18. Ed Ogeron was 17. I mean, so it's Tom Herman at Texas was 15 and a half.
Oh my God, I forgot about the Tom Herman era.
Look at where we've...
Zach Smith, remember that guy?
Look at where we've gone. They paid Scott Frost $15 million to go away. Like, it used to be that you'd get $15-20 million to go away, and we'd be like, oh my God, that is so much money. And now we're like, $60-70 million, $40 million. It's no big deal. Like, it is when you look at the history of this thing. It wasn't that long ago that $15 to $20 million was considered unheard of. And now we've already jumped the shark with $74 million. Because I remember saying there is zero chance they could fire Jimbo Fisher. And Texas A&M was like, yeah, we're going to fire Jimbo.
Well, I think at first, like, wasn't it over $100 million initially? And then they had to wait a couple years for it to go down to 77?
Yeah, you do. Sometimes you have to.
I want to say initially, they're like, well, they can't fire him because it's 113. It's like, just wait till they get sub 80. They'll do it.
Yeah, because it's a when you sign, it's an S ton of money. And then each year it gets a little bit less.
You're essentially working it off.
You're essentially, yeah, it's working it off because it's a guaranteed deal. And then some coaches will put in a higher guarantee or a higher yearly salary, but the buyout does go down. But it also goes down for them too, because, you know, some coaches after a couple years want to leave, but when you sign a $100 million deal, you ain't going anywhere. You either stay in and getting your $100 million, or they're firing your ass and you're walking away with $100 million.
Question from our YouTube chat. Did it say Lincoln Riley on there, or is that not on there because they're private? Do we not know?
Probably private. We don't know. Yeah. I don't even think we know what he makes.
Right.
I think there's like whispers and stuff, but they don't have to release any of that information. Where all the public schools, they're all the highest paid state employees, so all that stuff gets...
He's probably 10 milli.
I would assume.
A year.
Well, now if you're one of those coaches, you're all above 10 million. And again, this is only a fairly recent sort of thing.
So what if Riley's not their guy? What do you think his buyout would be?
Well, when did he get... So he's on year...
This is what, year three or four?
Three.
Did they say how long his contract was?
I'm guessing when he signed it, I'm guessing, again, it was probably a seven to eight year deal.
So you'd be looking at 40?
Yeah.
In the 40 range, 40 or 50?
Oh, they said it was a 10-year deal worth $110 million.
So it's a big...
Okay, so he's probably in the top 10 then.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying that the base salary is just under 10 mil per year. So and we don't know what it is, but it's a big old number. And you wonder with USC, as much money as USC has, I don't know. I don't know if USC has the guts to pull a Texas A&M and go round up. Because if you're talking about buying people out to that point, that just comes from boosters.
Those alumni bases are not the same.
No. I think you're hard pressed to go into Southern California and round up $60 million to get rid of a coach. And then, by the way, you're going to have to come up with that money to hire a new one. Where at Texas A&M, would that take you a week or two to call around to some people? Like, you wonder, like, if Oregon ever got to that point, you know, as I know it's weird, but you can probably call one guy and, you know,
make it happen.
And I don't know how many schools can do that. The crazy one is when SMU didn't take any money to get into a Power Four conference. They took no money.
Yeah, they don't care.
Yeah, they're like, just let us be part of it. We've got the money.
Yeah. And the one, I love that one, like the ACC looked at him and was like, dude, you're talking about like, what was it, $30 million for like 6 years? And they're like, dude, you're talking like $180 million. And they're like, well, that's what?
Yeah, and?
No problem. Like, we got
it's
that.
It's so wild that we're talking about this kind of money to not coach.
Yes.
Not coach.
Yeah.
No, I'm always blown away when they will break down like what Jimbo Fisher is making every hour that he's away based on his buyout. Yeah. I mean, the figures are completely absurd.
No, it's like when, you know, it's Les Miles and some of these guys and like, oh, whatever, Les Miles. Yeah, he's probably tan right now.
Yeah, he's getting paid probably by Kansas.
Yeah. He might be getting paid by LSU too.
Kansas might be paying like five coaches right now. I don't even know, but...
Isn't it funny the athletic department just finds that money?
Yeah.
But they're like, oh,
it's always there.
Always there. Always there when you need it.
All right, we'll take a look at the NFL slate coming up this weekend. Next on The Fan. Vancouver Ford Text Line. High school baseball coach here. Wish we had buyouts. Yeah, I bet you do. Wish they had buyouts in radio. Well, they kind of do in radio.
I was just going to say, if you get me to walk away for $70 million, I wouldn't say no.
I mean, you imagine that. Kirby Smart could totally tank.
Yes.
Right now. And say, you know what, I don't want to work anymore, I'm just going to get fired.
Just decide that he's done with this and then start
and
losing.
Collect $118 million. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that.
Yes.
Well, it's absurd.
So we found 24/7 Sports, or like you do call it, 247. They estimated Lincoln Riley's buyout at the start of the season at $90 million. So
damn.
You figure another year off that, roughly 80-ish at the end of this season. I wonder if Lincoln Riley's just laughing like, yeah, come for me, you bitches.
Yeah, no kidding.
Bring it on.
Stick with him.
Another one is Mel Tucker with his little phone sex thing. Mel Tucker cost himself over $80 million.
Isn't he suing, though?
Yeah, he's suing. And there'll probably be a settlement.
Yeah, he'll get some money out of that.
But still, dude, that guy... Whether you believe it was consensual or not, that guy touched himself on the phone to the tune of $80 million. Mel.
It's a pretty expensive 900 number.
Right?
Call.
Like, you remember those numbers? Like $3.99 a minute? What is that? I want to know how long he was on the phone and what does that have to do to add up to $80 million? Come on, Mel.
Oh, men.
That is the most expensive phone sex in the history wow. of phones or sex.
Take a look at the NFL schedule real quick before we get to in the news.
Hey, there are a couple good ones. I'm gonna
well, fire up. I don't know about a couple.
Oh, you're poo-pooing?
No, I mean you got Detroit Green Bay.
Yeah, which does take some of the wind out of my sails because I don't think Jordan Love's gonna play. Which I'm a little bummed out
but
about.
But I still think the Packers can win, don't you?
I don't know. I mean, Matt LaFleur has really elevated himself in my mind. I think he's a top three coach in the NFL. The game plan that he came up with when Love went out and they basically ran that. I mean, they were throwing the ball like 12 to 14 times a game and their offense was beautiful. I just love that. Against an offense like Detroit's, I mean, Detroit's offense is a absolute beast. I don't think without Jordan Love, they can win this game. I think they can keep it competitive, but I hope Love plays because I really want to see that. I want to see that matchup. And then I'm kind of sneaky excited. You have the number one offense in the NFL in the Baltimore Ravens and the number one defense in the Denver Broncos. And I kind of also see where Bo Nix is at because there's times that Bo Nix looks like Anthony Richardson. And there's other times where Bo Nix looks like he's starting to figure this out. But Denver's, I don't know if you've seen Denver's schedule, but it's been nobody. I mean, their wins have come against some really bad teams. Jets, Raiders, Saints, Panthers. The Chargers made them look absolutely silly, and the Chargers have a really good defense. The Ravens' defense is solid. It's not elite, but that Broncos defense is a juggernaut right now, and I'm kind of excited about this matchup. I want to see Bo, and I want to see that Denver defense against the Baltimore offense.
Yeah, I kind of overlooked that one.
Yeah.
Only because the spread's like 10.
Yeah, that's one that I've got circled. That my eyes like that will be a game that I won't just watch on Red Zone. I'm gonna tune in and watch that.
Seahawks host the Rams.
Yeah,
here on the Fan.
Yes.
They
need that game.
Yeah,
so
they
bad.
Really need to win.
And the injury report's coming out. Not great. No, for the Seahawks.
DK is not gonna play. Yeah.
No, Noah Fant.
Fant's out. Did I miss? Is there another one?
The new linebacker they got is questionable. Ernest Jones.
Ernest Jones. For heaven's sake, you know why can't they beat the Rams? The Rams, Sean McVay's like their daddy.
Yeah. Well,
if the Seahawks lose this game, this will be the fourth straight home game they've lost. They haven't
hey,
done
it's
that.
It's your window, daddy.
Since early 2000s with Holmgren.
Yeah, there was an article not too long ago talking about how the CenturyLink used to be one of the toughest places to play in the NFL, and it just it's not.
Why not? What happened?
Well, the team is not nearly what it was, and the edge has come off. I mean, the record just speaks to it. It's just not, and you can say what you will about, you know, is it the team, is it the crowd, combination of both. It's just not the hostile environment that it used to be. But that is such a winnable division right now.
Oh, my God.
And
they're all 4-4.
They're all 4-4.
The Rams are 3-4. But.
Yeah. So this is... And for the Rams, who we all kind of wrote off, and they saved their season last week, this is a big game. This is another one that I'm intrigued because I really like Geno Smith, but I'm just starting to think that the Seahawks offensive line is just it's just putrid. And then the other one is I really thought the Seahawks defense, and I know injuries have been a part of this. I just thought you go out and get your head coach is the hot young coordinator. I really thought the defense was going to be better than this. And the linebacking core has been an issue. The free agents didn't work out. You went out and got a very solid piece there in Jones. I keep waiting for that defense to take the next step, but it may not matter if their offensive line is basically causing the exact same problems that are happening with the Houston Texans. They're just not finding ways to win those close games.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a little misleading that the Seahawks had to play three games in 11 days or whatever it was.
It was tough.
And they lost all three.
Yeah.
And I mean, just watching those games, you know, they lost to the Giants and then they had to turn around and play San Francisco, who was desperate and hungry. It's like, I don't know. I feel like they really got hosed by the schedule.
Yeah.
And they got smoke last week, so I can't blame it all on that. But I just feel like I feel like maybe their best is yet to come.
I hope so, because I look at that after getting smoked those three games. I think Atlanta is a pretty solid team. And dude, they looked great. Like, when this team clicks, they can show you a lot. And I keep waiting for that to kind of come out and be the norm. But that Bills game, dude, that was like, that's the meme. Stop it. He's already dead. I mean, the Bills just bludgeoned them.
Well, if they get this, they get into a bye.
Yeah.
And then you can maybe get healthy and try to make a late season push for the division.
Yeah, because you got the Niners, the Cards, Jets, Cardinals, Packers, Vikings, Bears, Rams. Like, it's there. This can still be a playoff team. You just got to get some more consistency and got to get healthy on the defensive side of the ball, and you've got to find a way. You can't win in this league. Like, Geno Smith is a drop back guy. He's a play action guy. And I'm telling you, when you give him clean pockets and you give him a run game, Geno Smith is a top 10 quarterback since coming to Seattle. But when you have him being pressured, it's like 47% of the time he drops back, he's getting pressured. You can't win like that in the NFL. It's not a consistent enough thing. So I don't want to lose hope in Seattle, because I was higher on them than some people were. But that Bills game, it scares the living daylights out of me.
Chargers go to the Browns. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
See what Jameis can do. They're 2-6. But
does Jameis have anything? And then don't look now, but like
being a man of increase,
the Chargers are one of those 4-3 teams that just is going to hang around, and they're going to be in the playoff picture.
Locked, cocked, ready to rock.
And their defense has been really good.
Yeah, and then we got Dolphins, Bills.
Yeah.
Cowboys, Falcons in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I'd like to see the Falcons drop.
You have got to be smoking something over there.
Well, they may put the...
I'd like to see them drop 45 on Dallas.
Well, and
Dallas
that,
is all banged
and
up.
If that happens, that may be the... Yeah, have you seen their injury report?
Oh, yeah.
This could be...
Micah's not going to play.
Yeah.
Diggs, I think, is hurt.
Diggs is banged up. I mean, they're a mess right now. I don't know if that would be the nail in the coffin at 3-5, but...
Dak's playing terrible.
Yeah. Well, I think, three games in a row now, he's throwing two picks, and, you know...
They're just not good.
No, they're not good. They're...
McCarthy, I mean...
It's just...
Who's their coach next year?
It's not McCarthy.
Well, no.
It might be the hoodie.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. I think Belichick's going to go there.
Although, you know, Bill's out catching 22-year-old mermaids.
I saw that.
Boy, that... Can we...
It's hot. No!
Look...
Are you going to trash Bill Belichick for having young hot girlfriend?
It's weird.
You know.
I get why. He's like, 70, 72?
Yeah.
She's 22, 23. I get it.
She's that young?
Yeah, she's young. She's early 20s.
Yikes.
Yeah, she's 23.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, you know, look, I get it. I get it, you know.
Do you?
I do.
I don't know that I get that. 22, 50 years difference?
Well, I mean.
So, Ryan Fitzpatrick had a great comment on this, because she had multiple costumes for Halloween. The mermaid was one, but there's a famous picture of Belichick on the coaching staff for the New York Giants with a crop top t-shirt, and she wore recreated that,
but with sexy,
but made it hot. And then Ryan Fitzpatrick said, for all you 48-year-old hopeless romantics out there, just think your future person may not even be born yet.
Well, that's I was gonna say, Suk, you're 46.
Yeah,
so the different your future Bill Belichick
is negative two
girlfriend. Yeah. Well, she's actually, she's -4.
Yeah.
We got to wait 6 years for her to even be born.
Go look up. It's one of my favorite Saturday Night Live sketches of all time, and it's called Meet Your Second Wife. Tina Fey and Amy Poehler host it, and they have the three guys up there, and it's a game show, and they don't know that they're going to be on it, but the whole thing is you meet your second wife, and the guys are like, what? And then they're like, your wife will die in a tragic car accident in 4 years, and meet your second wife, and it gets worse and worse. So the first one's like a 19-year-old, the second one's like 10, and then the third one comes out, and it's like a 30-year-old woman who's pregnant. And they're like, oh, that's not bad. She's like 30, and there's like, no, and she holds up the sonogram, and they're like, that's your future wife. That's Bill. Look, I get what Bill's doing. I do. Like, you're an old man, and she's willing to touch your old wrinkly body.
I'll get it in.
But that mermaid photograph thing with that is...
Being a man of increase?
If you haven't seen it, he's dressed as Well, he's, I don't know. Is that a costume?
He's a fisherman.
He's a fisherman. He's got. He's got.
But is that a particular fisherman?
Pipe.
No, it's like the Gordon fisherman.
Yeah. And he's got a fishing pole and a hook in her mouth, and she's dressed as a sexy.
It's just
she's laying on the sand at the beach
as a mermaid
in October. Presumably.
So she told Bill, "I am going to put on this outfit,"
and she put it on her Instagram.
All we're going to do is go down to the beach. We're not going to a party, or whatever. We're just going to take this photo. I'm going to put it on my Instagram. And Bill was like, "No, we're not doing that." And she's like, "I will let you do fish things to me when we're done." And Bill's like, "Okay," like it.
Fish things?
Weird stuff was going down. Like, this, I'm concerned for Bill. I'm concerned. I'm concerned. I'm worried about him. I am.
Well, I'm not. Dude's just living his best life.
I can't even imagine.
Get that prenup, Bill. Get that prenup. Wow.
Coming up next, it is time for In the News. We had a shooting at Vancouver Mall. The Deets on Halloween. Last night. The Deets next. Here's Buck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
All right, welcome back. Friday show. Joey Harrington coming up next hour. We'll do the club and all that cool, fun, awesome, rad bro stuff.
Yeah.
Right now it is November 1, 2024. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted and lovable newsman. Please be seated. Thank you. If you're driving, honk your horn. Please.
Tom Likas. It's not Flash Friday. Don't do that.
Could you do that today?
What?
Get away with that?
Probably not.
Tell women to flash their boobs? Yeah, isn't that what he did?
That's what he did.
He would say...
Yeah, it was Tom Likas was a shock jock. It was a nationally syndicated show. And so you would drive around on Friday and you would flash your headlights. And if you were a woman and you saw that, that meant that you would flash your up tops.
We had someone like that in the Bay Area, too. It was Whip 'Em Out Wednesdays. And if you saw one of the whatever radio station's bumper sticker, you're supposed to, a woman, you're supposed to whip them out.
And then dudes would call into Tom Likas and be like, "Oh man, I'm on Ventura Boulevard right now, and I saw this great set," and you know, it's that. And then you're like, "Yeah, that didn't happen." But
are we okay with that now?
I'm guessing no, but you know,
start that bit up.
Probably not. That's probably in.
Come on, guys.
Poor form. Let's grow up a little bit. And that's saying something coming from the two of us.
No kidding.
No, we had like a Ween Wednesday, you know, that's different. Probably get plenty of that. Hey, dude, whip it out. Yeah, Ween Wednesday.
This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. National Vinegar Day today.
Not a big vinegar guy.
What exactly is vinegar? I mean, I know what it is, but where does it come from?
What makes vinegar?
Yeah. Like, what is vinegar? You know?
Boy, you are blowing my mind right now.
Is it like...
It's made through a two-stage, they ferment it, raw materials that are just sugar and starch.
So it's like fruits?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's almost like booze. I mean...
But what are they fermenting?
Sugar and starch.
Oh. Hot.
Yeah. Yeah, you kind of threw me on that. I was like, how do they make vinegar? I mean, the only time I ever use it is like you can. I'll put it like in the wash sometimes because my workout clothes get that perma stink.
Yeah,
and so a little vinegar can help.
Do you ever pickle anything?
No,
with vinegar. We do that sometimes.
Well, we buy like kimchi. We eat a lot of kimchi, but we don't make our own kimchi.
Yeah, people are saying old grapes.
Fruits. Oh, that's what
I would
they
imagine
do?
Fruits. Yeah. Okay. I don't know.
When we were down in. Our last golf trip, someone had a bottle of wine that they had for like I think it was like their dad gave him. It was like 40 years old. And we were like, we brought it to the restaurant and we were going to see if we could. And it was
bad.
It was bad. Yeah. As we started opening it, the cork was falling apart and it was rancid.
Did you have a taste of it?
Yeah, it was really, really bad. It kind of reminded, when someone said old grapes, it did. It smelled like vinegar.
Every once in a while, I'll do that. And you open a bottle of wine and you're really excited about it and it's bad, but then you try to convince yourself that it's not. It's like, maybe it's just my...
No, it's still fine. It's still fine. It's still fine.
There was one guy who had brought the bottle. I think it was his dad's. He was trying...
Probably livid.
He was trying to do the, no, it's not that bad. Like,
yeah.
And we're like, dude, this is awful.
It is also pâté day, which is another thing that I don't know what really that is. What is pâté?
Pate
isn't it
is...
like pig butthole or something?
Did you say pig butthole?
Pate is a savory liver. Filling of meat and fat that is baked in a tureen.
I thought pate was like liver.
It's often made with liver.
Yeah. I've always thought pate was, like ground up, like liver paste. Not pig butthole.
We gonna have some vinegared pate tonight? Gross.
Vinegar pate butthole. Let's go.
Gross.
Could you pass the vinegar pig butthole, please?
We fall back Sunday morning. Daylight saving time is ending.
Okay.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah. I actually...
But,
I always get confused whether it's like...
Fall back,
yeah.
You know, like...
Spring forward, fall back.
Yeah. So 2 a.m. becomes 1 a.m., so you get a little more sleep.
Yeah, so we don't have to have it pitch dark at 7 a.m. anymore.
But for all you parents out there, it just means your kids are going to start waking up an hour earlier for about a week.
Yeah, and your sunset, the sun's going to be going down real early.
Yeah. But it's hard for me now because my dog wakes me up to go on walks, and it's hard waking up when it's just pitch black and rainy. It's awful.
Yeah, I thought they were making steps to change all this daylight saving time garbage, but we're not there yet, apparently.
No.
We're still turning the clocks back. But, the good news is these new iPhones, these hot new phones we have, just does it automatically.
There you go. Yep.
For you.
Yeah, I have to update, I think my microwave. I have to update.
Yeah, microwave and oven.
Now, the oven's on the Wi-Fi. Mm. I think our microwave might be the only thing that that I have to. I had a car once that a long time ago, and I was so bad about it, I just waited until... I never said it. I just waited for it to roll around.
You just
again.
Did the math in your head?
Yeah.
It says 1 o'clock, so it's noon.
Yeah, I'm like, I know it's not,
Well, it was a rough night at Vancouver Mall last night.
Yeah, it was rough.
One person was killed, two injured in a shooting. I was at the food court right after we got off the air, about 7:30.
Yeah.
Little kids running around with their little costumes.
No good.
Chaos ensued.
And wasn't the shooter in a Halloween mask, too?
Yeah, he was in a clown mask, they said.
I don't like that one bit.
Dressed in all black.
Yeah.
And they're saying that it was a targeted shooting that the shooter was going after the guy who he killed.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was someone
He wasn't like spraying bullets.
No.
But the two people that were hit were just bystanders. And they are fine. They got out of the hospital. They were sent to the hospital but treated and released.
And the guy that he meant to shoot
died. Yeah. So crazy. Kids running everywhere. People running into stores and hiding behind counters and in the back rooms.
That is absolutely terrifying. And as I've stated, I would head to the Wetzel's Pretzels, and it's where I would wait out the shooting.
Yeah. Somebody called you out on that and said, "Well, why wouldn't you go to the store with all the weapons?"
The hell, yeah. The Excalibur. What am I going to do with a fake sword against a guy with a
chainmail? It's the same as chainmail is like the same as a vest.
I don't think that's the way that works.
No,
chainmail has big holes in it, and that dude's shooting an AR-15. What am I that guy called? What am I going to throw a Zippo at him?
Get a nice shield.
Well, I think we're handing out weapons to the kids and say, get them, kids.
Quite frankly, I'm not certain that that resin Captain America shield that they sell is going to do anything to stop a Glock bullet. Again, I think I got better luck because why would he head to the Wetzel's Pretzel? I think I'm standing by my statement. I'm heading to the pretzel stand.
Well, I'll tell you, that is pretty scary that...
Yeah, it is. That's...
Some guy just waltzes up in a clown mask and shoots somebody else.
Yeah, no. And the fact that it had to be a clown, of all the things that you could be, I already don't like clowns. I'm already scared of them. And now I got clowns going to malls and shooting people.
Well, they said the mall was crowded.
Yeah.
And, security appeared to be overwhelmed.
I bet.
They were saying that...
What? we've all seen mall security, and this isn't a knock on mall security. They're not prepared to handle that.
It was a trick-or-treat event. Like, I mean, that's they had something going on there. It wasn't like just a regular night at the mall.
Yeah.
So all the little kiddies heard that and will be traumatized.
Yeah. And there was like there was a story. I guess one of the teen employees was sheltering people and pulling them in, and at the Twisted Escape Rooms.
Yeah, I saw some video of that.
Yeah, and they put down the gate and they locked it in so that way no one could get inside. And it is just no bueno, man. That stuff is absolutely terrifying.
We have more ballot box shenanigans.
Oh, we're back to this.
Well, this is different. We're not lighting fires.
Oh.
Care to guess what they're doing now?
It's like towing them away, or
no,
like they're putting a chain and just dragging it off.
Nope.
Put a bunch of fake ballots in there.
Fake ballots. You're on the right track.
Ooh.
I'll tell you next.
What a great tease
on the Fan. All right, this is in the news. Nov 1, 2024. Can you believe that? It is November, Jason. We are almost to Thanksgiving.
I don't think we're almost to Thanksgiving.
I think we are. Really? We're almost to Christmas.
We're almost to New Year's.
We're almost to 2025.
It's getting crazy.
Johnny.
John Anthony has confirmed information that we're almost at Thanksgiving.
Number one.
You better call him. He's number one against the calendar.
Clark County officials are warning the public that unofficial ballot box sites have popped up around town to prevent votes from being counted.
Fake ballots.
Fake ballot boxes. So people are dropping their...
putting their real ballots in the fake box. They're getting lost.
And I don't... I gotta tell you this. I can't lie. That's a pretty good idea.
Pretty good idea. I like it.
If you want to...
Way to be clever.
Disrupt the election. The act of creating fake ballot boxes and encouraging voters to take their ballots there is called ballot harvesting. And voters should not give their ballots to anyone that they don't know and trust. Believe it or not, ballot harvesting is not illegal in the state of Washington, and therefore is not illegal for a person or group to make available a box for voters to place their ballots in.
So that's unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
Wait, but it would be illegal.
That's fraud.
It would be illegal for me to burn those ballots, though.
But it wouldn't be illegal for you to collect them, apparently.
Yes, but it's got to be illegal for me to then do something other than turn in those ballots. There's no way that it can be legal for me to harvest ballots.
And then just hold on to them?
And then dump them in the trash. Like, there's just no way,
Why
right?
wouldn't there be a penalty?
I don't know. At this point, just, can we get to November, can we get, what is it, November 5th, right? Can we just...
Tuesday.
Can we get there and actually, can we get to, like... Well, it's not going to be over because never mind. It's going to be an S show next week. It just is. We're already boarding up. You see in downtown Portland, everyone's boarding up the windows already.
No, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, there are a bunch of the stores in downtown are already, they're just taking precautions and they're just boarding up windows now in advance of the idea that something is going to happen. It's sad. It's just sad where we're at.
I love cows.
No information has been shared regarding the person or persons involved in the creation of these fake ballot boxes.
Well, some of the stories just on a national basis out there are just scary. That bro down in Florida is just like threatening people with machetes. I keep seeing videos of election workers just being screamed and yelled at, and people taking it upon themselves to be the judge, jury, and executioner of people in lines. I mean, It's just pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic right now. What's going on?
What would you do if you walked up to cast your vote and there was a guy with a machete? What would you do?
Call the police. It's the only thing you can do.
What
right?
would you then wait? Would you go in and vote?
Yeah, I don't know.
Would you be like, dude,
I don't know.
Put down your stupid machete.
Yeah, I guess I would try to have a rational conversation with him, but I'm not certain how that's going to go since he has a machete at a polling place. As if... Just in what world are you bringing a machete to a polling place? That you realize that even if you saw someone doing something at the polling place that you didn't think they were supposed to be doing, you can't do anything with a machete, D-bag.
USA! USA! USA!
He can slice you up.
I guess. USA! Enjoy prison.
I don't know. I gotta say, I'm not all that worried or scared about a guy with a machete.
Yeah. The machete doesn't worry you?
Well, I mean, look, right, he's got to get really close to me in order to have a shot.
That's true.
And the other thing is, I feel like machete is like the classic wielding weapon.
Yeah.
People just wield it because it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
But it's not, I don't know, you never really hear about people getting sliced up with a machete. You know, you just hear about people with machetes.
That is true. The machete.
They don't want to use the machete.
They're kind of used more for brandishing than they are
Yeah. They just show it off. Like, ooh, look at me, I'm big and scary.
It's a flex.
Oh, no, you're not. Get out of the way. I'm going in there and I'm voting for my guy.
Your guy.
I just feel bad for people that are just there, election workers, and they're trying to do the right thing and they're volunteering their time. And we got these dill wagons all over now that are just threatening people, threatening to hurt them, threatening their families. It's absurd. It really is an embarrassment as a group where we've gotten.
You do it anymore, you're gonna have problems.
It's pathetic.
November 1, 2024. That is in the news. Brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. Joey Harrington next hour on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.